This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Good. Karel. The guy that's been preaching in Walvis Bay quite often lately. I was always almost worried that you're going to say something else. But it's good to be here with you guys, as Manfred introduced me. I think for the past 2 months, I've done a lot of preaching in Walvis Bay. And I want to encourage you to go and visit there sometime. The church is growing, I believe. And Robert and Ruline are doing a good work there. The church we planted about 2.5 years ago. And there we have some more light. Feel my cheeks are a little bit hot. I hope no one was sleeping while it was dark. Good morning. It's nice to have you here otherwise. So just a little bit of marketing. If you don't know by now, next week, Sunday, the 2nd of September at 6 p.m., not a.m., p.m., we're going to have our first evening service. So we are really excited about that. We are looking forward to that. I don't want to say mainly, but the focus will be on the younger generation and reaching them. So we've spoken to Richard and Marika and all the younger small groups. We are very excited to launch our evening service. So go and have a look at our Facebook page, or we've already posted on some of our intercession and small group pages. There's a little invite that you can forward to other people. So if you haven't received it or you want it, please, you can contact me after the time. Or as I said, it will be on Facebook as well. Please go and share it with your friends. You are all invited. You are all welcome. Bernard, we will not ask ID. So if you've got a young spirit, you are welcome. Anyone is welcome. But so even if you were away for a weekend, even if you're away for work or camping or holiday, and you came back and you missed the morning church service, at 6 p.m. from now onwards, there will be an evening service. So I hope you are excited. Bill? Is it English or Afrikaans? We still have to pray about that. No. No, I'm teasing. It will probably be in English. It will be English. So I hope that it's okay. I'll just have to consult the elders. Mark, what do you say? Make it English. Okay, there you've got it. It will definitely be cast in stone. The pastor said it in the pulpit. It will be in English. As I said, it will be a little bit... have a little bit of a younger flavor in a sense. But as I said, all invited. Good. I want to share, I want to start this morning, I want to read from Psalm 42. Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2. And it's unfortunately not there. I only got this scripture this morning. It says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him?" Now, we all live in Namibia, hot, dry country, and I believe there were times that we all were thirsty, maybe after some exercise, maybe after walking in the desert or somewhere else, maybe just on a normal day from October onwards. I heard my father lives in Windhoek, it seems that spring is already gone. We are almost into summer, the nights are still a little bit cool, but you know, then for a while, it's going to be summer for about 7 months of the year. So we all know that when it's really hot and dry, there's a place where I believe all of us were longing for something cold. A cool drink, a glass of water, maybe a cup of coffee or tea. I'm not sure what's your favorite. But you know, we've got all that we all know that feeling where we can relate to, I really want something. And especially when we are thirsty, I believe that longing that we have for a glass of water to satisfy our needs, to keep us alive. That is a feeling that we all know. Now, I suppose you will all agree with me that we usually long for stuff that we know. Usually we are at a sad, weird place when we long or miss people that we don't know. Agree? That's usually a funny place to be. But whether it's friends, family, children, your parents, grandmom, granddad, maybe you long for a pizza or a braai or a chocolate or whatever the case might be, there's times that we feel, I wish I was at that place in Namibia, once again there at the Brandberg or in Etosha. I wish, I've got such a good memories, maybe something that were really special to you, maybe whatever the case, you will probably know, and you can fill in your own answer there. But it will be something that you have experienced before, whether it's food or family. It will be something that you want to be close to, something that you maybe want to eat. Or as I said, it might be if you are really thirsty or something, you really long for that glass of cold water. But as I said, you will probably not long for stuff that you don't know or you haven't experienced or that you haven't eaten. I'm now slowly but surely on my way to 40, and every time when I get in Windhoek at my dad's house, daar's die pot lensies, and then my dad said, Carl, don't you want to try it? And I'm like, Dad, when are you going to give up? I'm not going to eat those things, you know? So I don't long for that. My body doesn't crave it, but obviously some other people do. Now, here in Scripture, I believe if we bring it to our relationship with God, you know, when we know God, when we've experienced God and His kindness, God and His goodness, it will be something that we long for. I'm personally at a place, if I don't have quiet time and I don't read Scripture, if I don't feed myself, if I don't worship, you know, then I long for God. Yesterday, Saturday at our house, you know, the kids, it's school holiday, they want to get a little bit out and do things, and I can see the pressure is building a little bit, and then here later in the morning, you know, one boy is now fighting his mommy, and Mom, when can we go? And Mom is now, I just want to connect to Jesus quickly. And I thought, what a wife. I love my wife for that. You know, just that longing that we have to spend time in God's goodness, spend time in God's presence. And people, church, I'm not talking just about the intellectual place of reading the Word, of being able to quote Scripture. There's a place where we can really feel and experience God. Amen? Can you agree? I mean, there's a place. Sometimes when we pray, sometimes when we read Scripture, I agree, there's seasons that might feel a little bit drier. But there's times then where we leave God's presence. Reading a Scripture, or after worshiping, or worshiping with other friends, praying, being in unity, being in agreement. When we just leave and we've got just such a smile on our faces, such a joy in our hearts, okay? But we're not going to long for God if we don't know God. Amen? But if we have come and grown to a place of knowing God, and where we have tasted and seen His goodness, you know, we will never be able to walk away and turn our backs and not just long for that. So, that's just a little bit of background. I want to read also from Romans chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And when we say that God is good, you know, there's many things in our lives. Holiday is good. I believe to receive a good salary is a nice thing. Having lots of things in our lives. There's certain things that can give us joy, I guess. Go camping or a holiday. There's many things. But how do we weigh the goodness of God? You know, we should obviously get it from Scripture. So Paul writes here in Romans chapter 2, and I want to read from verse 1 to verse 4. He says, therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you judges. For in passing judgment on one another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same thing. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? That it's God's kindness, God's goodness, that is meant to lead you to repentance. I just love that scripture. Now, there's two things that we need to see from what Paul is writing here. He says that God is just. God is very just. There's none of us, no Jews, no one, who can stand before God one day and say, God, you've missed this one. You made a mistake. I've got something here. You cannot judge me. Because Scripture says we are all sinners and we're all guilty and we all fall short of the glory of God. That's our human problem. That's the issue that mankind has. None of us, when Paul writes here and he says to his audience that if you think you can stand before God and say, God, I've got a valid reason or a cause here. But that's not the case. We are all guilty. Okay? God is the perfect judge, etc. But that's not what I want to focus on so much. The second part is God's, the goodheid van God. God is kind. And he writes here and he says, but you need to know and you need to understand. And I believe every one of us who's got a living relationship with Christ and came to Christ, I believe we would even in a sense long or wish that we came to God earlier in our lives. Okay, I'm glad as a young man I could have met Jesus and I gave my heart to the Lord, but I actually wish I could do it 10 years earlier because of the goodness of God. And here scripture says it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. And Paul writes and he says, well, if I can explain it, maybe we can look to one or two people that you know and you can say, if we need to put a value to that, that person has got maybe 1 liter of goodness. Or that maybe 2 liters or 3 liters of goodness. But God's goodness, his kindness, is like an ocean of unlimited volume. We can say 100,000 liters times 10, times 100, times 50, okay, times 1 million. That is how big the kindness of God is, how big the goodness of God is. And God, actually what he does is, many times we've got stubborn, rebellious hearts, okay? And then God gives us so much time. God is gracious. God is long-suffering, okay? So God gives us so much time to come to our senses, in a sense, okay? To come to a place of acknowledging Him as our King and our Father, of meeting Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, there's the danger that when we don't know God and we sin and nothing happens, we think, well, it's kind of okay. I will get away with it. Maybe God will give me a second chance. But God gives us 10 days, weeks, months, years. He gives us even decades. Okay? He gives us so much time in our lives to come to Him. And Paul writes here and he says, that is the riches of His kindness. That God is fair to judge, that God is good to judge, but He allows us so much time. He gives us so much grace to get to a place of coming into relationship with Him. So when we talk a little bit in Scripture, the book of Romans, there's so much that Paul says about it. But we just need to understand our main issue before we say a lot about God and His goodness and His kindness. That we need to understand where we come from and that God has allowed all of us sitting and living here. He has given us time that we can come to God, that we can make things right, that we can, through Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, that is just to helping us to understand we cannot put God and many things in life next to each other and say, this is good, this is a little bit better, and that is wow or something. God isn't in the category where we can say, God is good, but this and that is also good. God is exponentially so much better than anything else. And if there's one person, there's a lot of examples, I believe, but as I've been reading lately, I just love digging through the Old Testament, the book of Samuel and Kings and all of that, Joshua, reading through that and seeing all the jewels, all the theological truths that is there for me and for you to find, to read it and to feed on that, and that it will lift us up. But as you study the life of David, I think by myself, to what Bible school did David go? Wow, as a young man, he just had so much faith in God, okay? He hadn't seen Jesus Christ on the cross. He didn't know that Jesus would have dwelt among people, that He would die on a cross, that He would rise again, about the era of the church. And there was a temple in that time. But today we've got a little bit of eternity. We've got a little bit of God inside of us, okay? He didn't even know about all of that. But as when he was a young man, and he went, we all know the story about Goliath. I'm not going to go into detail there. But you know the confidence that he has as he faces this giant. To say, but I put my faith not in my armor or my sword or my spear or anything. I put it in the living God, and to go and confront a giant like that. David had this amazing, amazing depth of love for God and this amazing this amazing theology, if I can put it like that. He had this amazing trust in God to go out and to fight that giant. Now, David writes here in Psalm 103. He writes, and I want to read it to you. And as I said, he was just such a man that knew God. He writes and he says, let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. may I never forget the good things He does for me. May I never forget the good things He does for me. And then he goes on and he explains from this depth, from this wealth of knowing God. He gives us examples. He says, He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. What a beautiful psalm. One of my favorite psalms for probably more than a decade. How many times I've turned to this, to the pages of Psalm 103, and I said, God, but you are good. God, you are endlessly good. You are kind. And here, the list could go on and on. David explains and he says, but you forgive my sins. You heal my diseases. You crown me with love and tender mercies. He's so thankful of knowing this wonderful God. And he shares it with us. If we look at God's character, if we look at who God says He is, you know, there's actions and there's scriptures and names and images, and then the attributes of God. And in the attributes of God, there's the moral attributes. And one of the first foremost attributes of God is His goodness. There's the love and His mercy, holiness, peace, etc. But one of the things that we can say to each other this morning is that God is good. That scripture is full of that. That through the life and the writings of someone like David, he shows us just how good God is. So I've got a little test that we need to do, and I'm not going to do like Divan, give you all 5 minutes to preach and then recruit a few people for the pulpit. I guess that's going to take us all day. But I've got a few things here that I want you to taste. So I need three volunteers. I need three volunteers to quickly help me. Are you smiling? Thank you so much. Number one, I need two more. If you like soetgoed, if you like something sweet, then maybe you're a good guy to put up your hand. No, don't point at other people. Mark, come and help me out. Thank you so much. I need a third person, please. Thank you, sir. You can come and help me. I want you quickly to stand here with me. I promise you it's not poisoned. It's not in the cupboard for more than the expiry date or anything else. Please take anyone. If you can't see that, I don't want to turn it around and it's going to fall on the floor. But it's basically cookies or chocolate that we want to bless our people with. So okay, we're not going to pray before the time. It's okay. The food are blessed. I want you to taste it. Okay, so now we're going to all look at them while they are chewing and having fun. And there's one or two left, so maybe afterwards, you know, if you really want to taste something. So we're going to give them an opportunity to swallow as well. I don't want them to talk with their mouths full of, not food, but chocolate. That's a funny face. Everything okay? You like it?
I like it, but there's a... It's like it's bubbles in my throat as I'm swallowing it in my mouth. It's still there. There's a sound.
Okay, well, I didn't make it. I bought it. So I trust that it will... It's chocolate. So I trust that it will be nice. But does it taste sweet? You like it. It's good. Okay. You can have more. Thank you for saying that. By the way, I didn't pre-order or pre-arrange this. I choose them on the spot. Thank you for that part of theology. We're going to get to that. Mark, so how does it taste?
It's good. That's it. Good.
That's it. Good. Short and sweet. Krachtig. Okay. And young man, you?
It's good.
It's good. Okay. So you can taste it and it's actually nice. So thank you so much. You can go and sit and chew in the church. Thank you for helping me here a little bit. You know what? We can physically actually... Oh, thank you for sharing. That's such a gentleman. Taking a bite and then giving the rest to his wife. Awesome. So, actually, you know, you tasted this chocolate or the little biscuit, and you can say, well, it tastes like this. I could have given you maybe cheeses or something, and it will be salty. Different things will taste differently. But in the first Afrikaans service, someone also said, it's nice. I actually like it. I would like to have more. Now, at home, we are three neutral people, and then there's two soetande, there's two really loves. So my one boy, he will always psych up his mom and like, hey, mom, don't you want a chocolate? And then mom is just so gullible, you know. She just loves something sweet. And then the two of them, they've had weird times driven to places to buy something sweet. But nevertheless, what I actually wanted to share, a while ago, I woke up at night. And it's always nice when we woke up and there's a song in our hearts. I mean, especially, obviously, a gospel song, something about truth. So I want to share with you from Psalm 33, also a Psalm of David, and then I'm going to come back to the tasting part here. Now, just a little bit of background on that Psalm. You know, if we read our Bibles, when we read our Bibles, there's certain parts that's not chronologically everything together. So if we read something like 1 Samuel, we should actually go to the Psalms and we should build a puzzle and do a little bit of research to see what actually fits together. So if we go to 1 Samuel chapter 20 to 21, then we see actually in the life of David that he was hard-pressed, that Saul was really hunting him. We see it starts there, and they talk about the new moon festival, and David had to sit there with the king on the table. So obviously if he was absent, then the king would have asked some questions. And basically, David and Jonathan, King Saul's son, they had an amazing friendship. They had a deep brotherly love for each other. And you probably know the story quite well at that stage where Jonathan said he would shoot the arrows. And if he tells the little boy that he should run a little bit farther, then it will be an indication or a sign for David that your life is in danger, that a king is seeking to kill you. And that is actually exactly what happened there. And then right there, we see also basically that David then got the message, and he knew about it, that he has to run for his life. David had to run to flee. Now, that wasn't just getting into his double cab 4x4 bucky with a camping trailer and water cans and diesel and food resources. That was a hard place where they lived in. Any one of you who've been to Israel? I haven't, but where I can study and what I can see in the pictures, you know, it's a harsh country that he had to flee to. So basically what we see here is David at this stage, he's fleeing King Saul, he's fleeing for his life, leaving everything behind, really not a nice place. It's not a on top of the world, getting a promotion type of a thing. And right there, he writes Psalm 34 in this context. We also see that he had to go there to a king, Abimelech. And basically, when he came to this king in his country, we see that some of the soldiers or some of his generals or whoever, they actually said, but isn't this David who the people sang of, you know, Saul killed the thousands and David killed the 10,000s? We're a little bit uncomfortable to have this guy here in our midst. So David was very afraid. He was very fearful. So David actually acted if he was insane. He drooled a bit, scratched the doors. He really was probably a good actor until the king said, listen, I've got enough mad men in this country. I'm going to send you away. So this is basically the background from where David is writing Psalm 34. As I said, it's in the Psalms. It's a little bit removed from 1 Samuel. But let's just see what David writes here in the Psalm. I will bless the Lord all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him. Then I just need to turn my page. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. As I said, David is writing this in a context where he's really in a tough place. It's not holiday time. Things aren't just going his way. He's already anointed the next king of Israel. He knows that, but he's running for his life. And in this tough circumstances that I believe some of us maybe today even can relate with, maybe things at work, your marriage, relationship, children, general society, your neighbors, I don't know what the case might be, Maybe things are hard in your life as well. But you know, David could write this and he could say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. David is not just writing from a place and where we can say to each other, we can quote scriptures, and from an intellectual, academic place, we can say, but scripture says that God is good. But can we share it from our hearts? Do we have that warmth? Do we have that depth from knowing God and being able to proclaim and to say, I know God, and I can say, I've tasted His goodness. I've tasted His kindness. You know, I gave you an example just now to eat something, and the one lady, thank you for saying, what was your name? Bedelia. Thank you so much, Bedelia, for sharing there and to say, but this is good. I actually want more. And that goes back to Psalm 42, right at the start, where I started by saying, usually we long for something we have known, something we know. We're not going to long for something. We're not going to miss a person that I have never met. And we usually want food, or we want to go and visit the place where we have been, where something positive happened. Now, if we thirst for God, if we want more of God, I believe it's fair to say then you first need to know God. So when we come to Christ and we are born again and this core disposition in our hearts are changed and we are set free and we're filled with the Spirit and we baptize ourselves because we want to relate to what Jesus did, you know, there's so much new things happen in our life. And I just think back on that time in my own life, you know, and the wonderful deeds God has done. The way I started to worship, to read scripture anew, etc. You know, but it's also important that we say to each other, you know, when we want to say with David, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We cannot just say, come and check God out and see what God is like. God is too holy. God is too awesome. God is way too big that we can put Him to, you know, next to each, to different things in our lives and say, God is good and God is better than this or that. We cannot compare God to anything else. Especially if we go back to Romans or other parts, Romans chapter 2 or 3, where we see the problem that we have. That we are all born in sin, that we are all sinners, that we are all guilty, and that God is a good, just judge. And that Paul says in Romans 2 that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. God gives us time. He gives us opportunities. If you go and speak to believers many times, you know, you will hear an honest testimony where someone will say, I know that God was on that day or night God was inviting me somewhere, that God actually wanted me to be at that church service, that event, that prayer meeting, whatever the case might be, but I said no. I was one of those. I remember, and I can look back at my life, and I know there were times and places and seasons, in a sense, where I know God was inviting me to come closer, but I said, not now, God. I know from my wife's testimony, she testifies and says this, there were times that she knew that God was calling her, you know, but that the world was louder, that the things of the world was louder, you know. So when we come to God, when we come to Christ, you know, and we start to experience the goodness of God, okay, then we are able to share and to testify about God. Before we know God, we can just, with the rest of society, we can have academic discussions. It's almost like talking about Washington, D.C. or London. I've never been there. I can only go and read about it. I can only go and look at pictures about it. And then I can have a conversation about what I think it's like. But in this life, if you know God, if you've experienced God, and the more we grow in God, the more we can share about His goodness. The more we can stand with David and we can say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, recently, a few weeks ago, in one of our leaders' meetings, we looked at John Andrews, one of his discipleship sessions, and we did a little bit of equipping. And he was talking about tour guides and travel agents, and it was in the context of discipleship. But I want to use that very good example that I think helps us to explain a few things, to talk a little bit just about God's goodness, about the kindness of God. If You know, and just to explain it, a tour guide is something when you travel to Angola, let's take our neighboring country, if you go there and you don't know what's happening there, you can get a tour guide and that person can get with you in the car. He can show you, listen, this about history, this is a town, that's a good hotel, be careful of that place, etc. But if you go to Windhoek and you go to a travel agent, that person will maybe help you to book a ticket, put you on a plane, and there you go all by yourself. But the tour guide takes you by the hand. I'm so thankful. This example just came to my mind. I remember when we had our first men's camp. Now, this is, once again, just in the context of discipleship. You know, Pastor C.S. Leroux were one of our main speakers there. And they are in Shofar and Stellenbosch in the church. And I invited him to come to our camp. And then he said he's not going to fly from Cape Town to Windhoek, which is a two-hour flight. But he's actually going to choose to drive with a lot of students, a 14-hour trip in a little bus, and, you know, to get to Otjiwarongo, Irindi, where we had the men's camp. And his only reason was, I want to spend time with the young men. I want to disciple them. I'm a father to them. I'm a spiritual father to them. I'm not just a travel agent that's going to say to them, here's the fuel and the bus. You guys just drive straight from Cape Town. I get you in Windhoek. No, I choose to be the tour guide. I want to go with you. I want to show you. Now, I just believe that it's so important that as the church and as Christians, that we are not travel agents but tour guides regarding the goodness of God. That we will not just say, because someone said or I heard it somewhere in a sermon, that God is apparently good. But that we will, from a deep place, and as I said, we can say it intellectually, maybe we can read it, maybe you can quote a few verses, but there's a place where in from a place of prayer, a place of worship, communion and fellowship with brothers and sisters, where we see a miracle. I remember so vividly last year, was it last year, Pastor Andre Creer that was here preaching on that day, people got healed. Where we can share about that goodness, stuff that we have seen in our lives. Because in society, in our own families even, many times there's so many conversations where people speculate and say, but God is like this, God is like that. And then we can quote scripture and we can give arguments, but from a place of being, let's say, a tour guide, having a practical experience to say, but this is the way I experience God in my life. This is the way when the lights are off and the worship team are here, and I can feel God in my heart. Just as you tasted that biscuit, just the way you tasted that chocolate, and you said, but I want a little bit more. It actually tastes good. Sometimes the world are so afraid to come to the church or to come to Christ because we think that God is distant, that God is angry, that He's going to spoil my fun, that all the nice things I do in this life, that He's going to take it away. I actually have got a quote a little bit later on. I actually should read it to you just now, something I read about John Piper. It's just amazing. I hope I can find it right now. Where is that quote? I actually want to read it to you. I hope I've got it here somewhere. Where he actually just, let me just paraphrase what he says. He says that true freedom in Christ is, you know, that when we know Christ, that we can do whatever we want to and that we will not be sorry for the next 1,000 years. That's where we are so transformed that God's heart and our heart is the same heart. Where that freedom is, that it's not God is making me do this or God is making me do that, but that my will and God's will is the same. And whatever I do now, I will not regret it somewhere in eternity. But let me come back to where I actually was. So we live in a day and we live in an age. I love my cell phone and all the apps that we have. It can tell us about the weather or a spell check. There's amazing things that it can do. We love instant soup, and we love a lot of takeaways or stuff like that. There's so many instant things. But you know, if we are instant Christians that just quickly want to copy and paste worship or just have a drive-through, a McDonald's type of experience in terms of Christianity, we will probably be able to say just a little bit about God's goodness. It's something that we will never be able to get away, no matter what happens to technology in the ages to come, in the years to come. We will have to be on our knees sometimes, laughing with joy or crying for the lost. Something here deep in our hearts where we want to point people as tour guides and say, we serve a good God. We serve an awesome God. And I want to hold it before you just in the past week. You know, I had a look and just a little bit of planning for the rest of the year. And I can say to you, church, there's so many amazing opportunities where the table are being prepared, where the table are being set for Christ encounters. I just think of Derek and Beryl Puffer that will be here in 2 weeks' time. What a privilege to have saints like that that year. We have got Awaken coming up. We've got the real Shofar band. That's not Freddie and the guys. That's the real Shofar band that will be here late, a little bit later in the year. As I said, Awaken's Women's Conference. We've got Michael Howard, thank you so much. Late in the year, awesome opportunities. Now, if I say, Mark, please invite someone, please get someone to be here. Well, I guess it's fair. That's part of the mandate that the church has. But you see, when we have tasted and we have seen that God is good, when we long, like in Psalm 42, to be with God, to be in His presence, where we can say, but it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. I believe it just changes that thing from a please do something to a I can't wait to do it. I can't wait to do it. I'm honest with you. I just look at my own life and I've been transformed. If you told me 20 years ago, I will by choice, maybe on a Friday night, read my Bible or a Christian book or something, I would say, yuck, on a Friday night, maybe a Sunday morning or sometime else. But it's not work. It's not something hard that I need to do. It's not something that I need to tick off or please God. It's something like that deer that wants that cold, fresh water because of what it does to us. So, I just believe, it's just something that I'm so excited about. And I remember, you know, after a few years in Windhoek, I think about 3 or 4 years in ministry there, I just came to the conclusion in my own life, and hear me, this is my life, it's my story, that it will be difficult for me to do something else than being a pastor. Because it's just something so fulfilling to be in God's house, busy working. And don't feel condemned now if you're doing something else and you're not in full-time ministry. In that sense, we can all be in full-time ministry. My wife touches more people on a weekly basis because she's got a pulpit, she's a hairdresser, and I promise you, if you go and sit there, you're going to hear the gospel. I work more with the church, and I love that, okay? But wherever you are, it's a platform where you can point people to the goodness of God, the kindness of God. So, basically, I also thought that I just had in the week, you know, I love to read from Facebook and newspapers and websites. There's so much that we can read. And I think today I've got more to read than that I've got time to read it. But unfortunately, I will never read the main heading in a newspaper where it will say something that two young persons were baptized in Swakopmund. Two young people were taken from hell to heaven. You know, where we will say we had in a church in this town, we had, let's say, the Awakens Ladies Conference, and 10 new people came to Christ. Hallelujah. New people saw the goodness of God. Some new people were born again. We don't read that, and I don't want to fight with the newspapers. That's surely not my heart, you know. But that is the mandate that God gave to us as the church. The newspapers in the world will not say it. So we need to be the tour guides, the people that is doing the proclaiming about the goodness of God. I want to start ending off. I read earlier in the week, there's a little book by John Piper, 21 Servants of Sovereign Joy. And he's got a few like pen sketches just talking about some of the saints. As he said, sometimes we stand on someone else's shoulders before us and we look at them and they inspire us. And here he just wrote a little bit about John Owen. Now, John Owen was born about 400 years ago in England. And he was born the same year in 1616 when Shakespeare actually died. So that means it's about 400 years ago. So I asked in the Afrikaans service how many people English is their first language, and just about two hands went up. So I don't know how many of you English is your first language. So many times we Namibians, we battle a little bit with English. But if you read the English of 400 years ago, man, it's heavy English, okay? So I'm going to try, and I just want to read one or two things that John Owen said, and I want to apply it to I believe, our mandate that we have also to proclaim, that we can taste and that we can see and that we can proclaim about the goodness of God. He says then, I've got it up there for you. He says, a man preacheth that sermon only well unto others which he preacheth itself in his own soul. So the language look a little bit different. But what he says is that those things that we need to preach to others, we also need to preach to ourselves. I believe there's quite a lot of truth in that. Sometimes in our own households, I've got three young children, and you know, they just want to tell each other all the time, don't do this, and this one did that, and I'm like, no, you aren't the parents in the house, me and my wife, we will do that part. But what John here says is that, listen, if you want to preach that sermon to someone else, preach it first to your own heart. And then he continues, and he says a bit later on, he says, if the word do not dwell with power in us, it will not pass with power from us. And I want to apply that to being able to testify about the goodness of God. Okay? The goodness of God that leads us to repentance. If we can just say from an academic place, or the church says, or this is part of what we stand for, that God is good, it's one thing. But if that thing dwells with power in our hearts, it will live with power, and we will be able to share it with power. If you invite someone to church and it's like, ah, you know, if you feel like it, come to church, maybe something will happen. I hope you're not bored to death. Man, I'm not going to go to church. That's terrible. Okay. But if we can share from a place of personal experience of really knowing God, as standing with David, having that faith when he faced Goliath, as I said, I wonder which Bible school he went to as a young man, just being so full of faith, facing a giant, just being so having so much faith in God that God will come through for him. Just amazing. I just love that just raw faith, okay? But here, I believe we can just apply it, and I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us as a church, you know, to be this mouthpiece where we can talk about the goodness of God, that we can share, that it will be on our lips, that it will dwell in our hearts. And I believe when we talk to each other, when we come together in our small groups, whether it's prayer or intercession, whenever we taste something small, maybe it's just those first rays of the sun that is starting to shine in your life, okay? Dwell on that. Embrace that it will be something that we can share all the time. Okay, I want to ask the worship team, Freddie and Devon, thank you guys for, they've been here. We should actually always just bless our worship team. They've been here from, I think, 6:30 in the morning, just waiting till now to help us, facilitate us with this last song. So thank you, guys. We honor you and your hard work and what you do in church. But I actually want to invite you and to stand right now. And we're going to sing, Jane and Johnson, I think it's from Hillsongs, where they have got this song written about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that is the song that's been in my heart now for a while. And I believe as we think of the rest of the year, as we think of what we as a church do, maybe your ministry involved with, maybe your small group, that it will be something that dwells in our hearts. And I just want to trust, as the worship team is going to lead us and usher us now, that we will all be able to physically feel that warmth of God's goodness, okay? That it will be something that we will be able to sing about. That it will be something that we will be able to shout about. That it will be something that will be on our lips, okay? So I'm just going to give us an opportunity. The worship team is going to lead us just now. And I just want you to stand in God's presence and maybe just be open to what God wants to do right now.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.